Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
That practice we had fans was great. It was amazing to me to see the energy that the guys had just from a few thousand people up in the stands yelling and chanting. And we've been missing that. You know, we got such a great fan base, and we've been missing the energy that we can get as a team from fans when they're in the stadium. So I know we won't be full on Saturday, but it's going to be great to have some people back in there again. And you know, the home field advantage we get at Memorial Stadium is significant if we have people there. So it's great to see the start of that.
The sense of urgency, a lot of times, feeds from the fans. You get the fans, you get the music pumping, that gets your blood flowing a little bit. It's a little easier to get hyped up with your teammates. It's a little hard when you got 30 fans in the stands with your parents. It's kind of tough, but I think a lot of that energy feeds from the fans, and it's great that we're going to have them back Saturday.
I think we're all excited just to have, you know, the Red Sea back. It's not going to be all of them. We know the rest of them will be there in spirit. I think our players are excited about that, and we definitely are too. Can't wait to see them.
And welcome here to this pre-edition of the Nebraska Red-White Spring Game show here. This is the Husker Line Show. I'm Sean Callahan with Robin Washett and Nate Klaus. As you heard, Scott Frost, Austin Allen, and Tony Tuioti set the stage for Nebraska fans to be back in Memorial Stadium in large numbers for the first time since November, gentlemen, of 2019.
Crazy.
Not 2020. I mean, just when you think about that, you're just like, wow. I mean, because we had the practice a couple weeks ago where 3,200 people were there, and that was big. But they're going to expect around 40,000. I think you're going to get a late walk-up push. And by the way, you can buy tickets day of game at the game, but there is a $5 more charge, so it's $15. And I think it's $25 for the clubs, but I would be shocked if there are any club seats available on Saturday morning. So you can still come down here. I mean, it's going to be mid-80 degrees here on Saturday morning. Chamber of Commerce weather.
See a baseball game or two.
See a baseball game, have a beer. It's going to be this town is turning this weekend, in my opinion. The state's turning with the red-white game, the baseball, the Lincoln Marathon on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for this weekend, guys.
It's been a long time coming that there's actually been this much stuff and excitement and buzz going around the
hotel
city.
Rooms.
Yeah, I mean, this has been like some like desolate, like post-apocalyptic landscape for the longest time where people are just like shut in. And now the weather's starting to turn. It was a long winter, a dark winter, and now we're back. We're back, baby. We're going to baseball games. We're going to football games.
6,100 will be at baseball.
We're tailgating.
The bar patios are going to be packed, and it's getting back to normal.
Barry's is closed, by the way, so we won't get the full rooftop feel of Barry's bar. They have not reopened over the pandemic.
Yeah, I know. That's disappointing. That rooftop is one of the prime spots.
But our buddy Ryan Funk that owns Gate 25 and those guys, that place is going to be hopping down here in the rail yard, and these businesses need this weekend, Nate, more than anybody.
Well, yeah. I mean, they need people coming out to enjoy a few drinks, enjoy some food, and to get out and see some sports and really just kind of be around people again. I just feel like you said, Robin, it's everything has been kind of a cold, dark, you know, holdover, and it feels like this weekend is just when finally kind of a coming out party. Finally, everything is aligned, and you know, the weather is going to be great. There's so many things to do. And you know, it's going to be pretty exciting.
And we got a lot to delve into in this show. We are going to talk more in depth about Thomas Fedoni's injury in our next segment. If you didn't know, if you lived under a rock for the last day or two, Thomas Fedoni is out with a major knee injury. Hope to get him back here sometime in the middle of the 21 season, which ideally maybe he could play a 4-game redshirt, but we'll hit on that later in the show. The red-white spring game itself is going to be formatted like this. The starters are the upper unit players. I would guess ones and like twos are going to be on the field in the first half. There will be no to the ground tackling. It will be called what football coaches say is thud. So they'll blow the plays dead before tackles are made. Then the second half is going to be lower units playing full live to the ground tackling. And Coach Frost said this week. He's like, look, this is not, you know, our, you know, it's more showcase for the fans. I mean, they're not going to go out there and show a lot, but it's a the spring game is what it is. It's a celebration of being a fan of Nebraska football.
Well, especially this year in particular, and what it's going to mean for those 40 or so thousand fans to come back to Memorial Stadium and watch Nebraska play football again in person. I mean, like you said, it's the fact that it's been since 2019 since that's happened is insane. And there are so many people that this is going to be such a great return to normalcy, to their normal fandom and all that, and just the celebration of that event is going to be so much more important than anything that actually happens in the game. Like, no one's going to care about Adrian Martinez's completion percentage or who has the most rushing yards as the four-string running back. Like, this is going to be a
moments.
Deal where, yeah, this is going to be a deal where you remember this game because it was the return to Nebraska football. The gates were open.
COVID
again.
Is done. Yeah. Type of, I mean, it's not done. Yeah. I didn't mean it was done, so I don't want to get any emails, but we're
how dare you?
We're turning a page.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, we're taking steps in the right direction.
We're getting back to normal.
This is a very big step. And, you know, again, when you look back on this one, just being back in the stadium, fans being sitting together watching Nebraska play football, even if it is a, you know, relatively meaningless scrimmage, it's going to be one of the more important spring games that certainly any of us have been a part of.
Yeah, and not so much for what's happening on the field, but just for fans. I mean, the opportunity to be able to go into Memorial Stadium, and I'm assuming they're going to be able to buy a Runza or a slice of Valentino's pizza. I mean, for a lot of people, that's not been a possibility for a very, very long time, since going back to 2019 for some. And so, yeah, it's the taking one big giant leap towards getting back to normal. And, you know, I've been asked all week long, like, what are you going to be looking for? What are you excited about, you know, for the spring game this weekend? And to me, it's about being at a sporting event,
seeing the fans.
People, yeah. And I mean, it's of course I'm going to be paying attention to what's happening on the field, because that's our job. But I mean, more than anything, it's being around sports fans, being in in a stadium watching a sporting event that has an actual crowd. That's what I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, I just still think about this season, going to all the road games in Memorial Stadium, and just how depressing it really was.
Just like staff members letting off the balloons after touchdowns, like, just it was so,
well, like getting to like
sad.
Iowa City and like not one restaurant's open and no one's out and about. I mean, it's just dead. It was like an apocalypse hit these Big Ten towns, and there was like nobody there. And then all of a sudden there was a football game going on, and you just walked into the stadium like it was like a normal day.
Yeah, that first Nebraska home game was just the weirdest thing. You know, it's 45 minutes before kickoff, and you're just walking down
alone.
Yeah, walking down Stadium Boulevard, whatever, and it's empty. There's not a single vendor. There's not a single fan. And
that bridge, we go underneath that bridge, yeah, from the office, and there's usually like the blur party and all the other tailgates going on down there, and it was just like
a Tuesday in June. You know, like there was like nothing going on.
Guys sitting under the bridge reading a book or something.
Yeah, and so
the normal smells aren't
exactly
aren't there.
Exactly. So I mean, just and not only the game, but just like think about what the campus and the city are going to be like with the tailgates and people, you know, just doing their normal game day routine. That's going to be just as much fun as what happens in the game.
And I hope they allow the tailgating. I mean, to it. I mean, I haven't heard any kind of like restriction. I feel like it's just kind of like a don't go there topic. Like, yeah, they don't want to even try to enforce it because you're not going to be able to.
Yeah, I mean, how would you? I don't. And there's no way you're going to stop people from showing up and tailgating. I'm sure. Yeah. There's going to be people that start tailgating at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know,
might as well
Between seeing tailgaters and you know, hearing the marching band. I mean, those are some of the things that I'm really looking forward to the most.
All right. Well, when we come back, I promise we'll talk more about Thomas Fedoni, the offense, the running backs, the quarterbacks. We're going to close out offensive storylines here heading into Saturday next. You're listening to the Husker Online Show.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Yeah, Thomas is a super talented guy. Gosh, he cares as much as anybody out there. So put those two things together and it's going to lead to good places. He's a lot like all the other freshmen that should still be in high school that are here right now. We threw a lot at him real quick, and I think he was kind of swimming for a while, trying to figure everything out. And his last two practices were really good practices. So, again, was disappointed for him, but he'll come back stronger.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Robert Watch, and Nate Klaus. This segment of the Husker Online Show brought to you by Tanner Sports Bar and Grill on 31st and Yankee Hill Road. I was in there Saturday, caught a bit of the Nebraska baseball game, and it's just a great place to go to watch sports. They had the volleyball on in there, all the Nebraska baseball games. This weekend, they'll have the red-white spring game on at 1. It's also a great place to go after the spring game. If you don't get a ticket to go watch Nebraska baseball, go down to Tanner's on your drive back and watch the game, as they will have it streaming on all of their TVs. That's Tanner Sports Bar, 31st and Yankee Hill Road. Rob and Nate, you heard Coach Frost there talk about Thomas Fedoni and just the injury itself. And you feel for him. And this, to me, is one of those injuries. It's more the perception of the injury than the reality. Because the reality is Austin Allen's an NFL tight end. He's the starter. Travis Volkolek's probably an NFL tight end as well, and he's the number two. And Allen and Fedoni was going to be behind those guys, but have maybe a role in the team and learn from those guys. And now the hope is, could you get him back potentially for a four-game deal and play in 2021 here still?
Which, you know, obviously is a possibility, but you're right. I mean, this is a guy that was the centerpiece of the 2021 class. I mean, they're talking about a borderline
five-star
player that, you know, Nebraska worked extremely hard to get, and he was bringing a lot of buzz and, you know, excitement to the future of what they've been building on the recruiting front. And now, you know, he doesn't even make it through a full spring without blowing out his knee. You know, I mean, it's like the I can't remember the phrase, but if something could go bad, it will go bad for Nebraska.
And Murphy's Law.
Murphy's Law. That's what I was thinking of. Yes, I mean, that's another instance in this where Nebraska finally gets like this marquee level recruit and beats out the best of the best to get him. A couple months later, he's out with a knee injury. I mean, it's one of those deals where, as Nebraska fans, you just kind of throw your hands up and say, well, you know, add it to the list of punches below the belt that we've endured over the years.
Yeah, I feel terrible for Thomas. You know, obviously, being able to get to know him throughout the recruiting process, I know how he's wired. And this is somebody, like Frost said in the open, like nobody cares more than Thomas Fedoni. This is, I mean, he's a special individual. Supremely talented, you know, and I think that he was just starting to really kind of come into his own too, practicing at a high level and finally, you know, getting to understanding the offense and everything, and you know, just kind of starting to get comfortable, you know, being a college athlete and comfortable with the offense and everything, and then something like this happens, and no contact injury too, is kind of salt in the wound. I mean, it's not even like you could blame it on, well, it's just a random deal where he got rolled up on or something, but this is, you know, you just feel bad for the kid. So, but I know this, if anyone can come back from it quickly, it's going to be Thomas Fedoni. I mean, the guy, no one will outwork this kid. And so I would not bet against him being able to come back and at least see time in a game or two, towards the end of next season. I think that's with where they're at and being able to, you know, to have these surgeries and to heal from them, I think that he's somebody who could definitely do that.
You're listening here to the Husker Line Show as we talk other offensive storylines. Coach Frost addressed quarterbacks, said that Logan Smothers has come a long way with the reps. Heinrich Harburg is really talented. He was, quote, our favorite term, swimming in it, but he has now doing a lot better as well. Leads us to the next elephant in the room, finding that perfect transfer portal quarterback, which I think we've all kind of agreed on and off air. That guy just doesn't exist. I mean, it's like, I want a guy that's good enough to start, but knows he can't start because he's got to back up Adrian Martinez and be an insurance policy. Well, I think the reality is the guy that they would want, maybe like a Terry Wilson, doesn't exist. There just isn't the right type of transfer quarterback. So you get the sense today, unless a lot changes, they're riding with these guys they have right now, and they're not going to pursue a transfer quarterback.
Well, and I think that was something we talked about going into spring was, you know, whether they would go after a transfer would be determined on how well Logan Smothers, Heinrich Harburg, and the rest of that group played this spring. And from the sound of things, I think the staff has liked what they've done enough to feel relatively good about that position, or at least good enough to not think that taking a quarterback is an absolute must do. And, you know, especially with the situation they're in, there are so many different boxes you have to check to find the right guy to bring into this situation that, yeah, I mean, maybe that player somehow pops into the transfer portal as spring practices around the country start to wrap up. But right now, it doesn't seem like he's out there. And if Nebraska were to go out and get a quarterback, they'd probably be forcing the issue a little bit. And when you force the issue, then you're opening up a whole bunch of other problems with drama and guys getting unhappy and all that stuff that would make things even worse in your current situation.
Yeah, from my point of view, I think the only thing that would make sense right now, you know, would be finding a quarterback that's got 2 or 3 years of eligibility remaining, that maybe, you know, is a little bit of ahead of a Logan Smothers or a Heinrich Harburg, but then you're kind of throwing your quarterback room out of whack, you know, when you combine what's already here along with maybe bringing in a new guy, and then of course bringing in a 2022 signee and 2023 and so on and so forth. So I mean, I would just at this point, I'd just be very surprised if that quarterback existed, you know. And I think the staff does feel a lot more comfortable with what they're looking at with the number two situation right now than maybe they did when Luke McCaffrey initially decided to leave the program.
And then finally, the running back position on Saturday. What are we going to see in this game? We know Marquis Stepp is out. We didn't get to see Gabe Irvin in the open practice. We have not seen Ramir Johnson in the chances we've been at practices this spring. Sevion Morrison apparently had a concussion. He's now back, so we'll see him Saturday. But just the feel of that position, getting another look at Jacques Yant, the two times we've seen him, I think everyone's like, wow, he's impressed. Nate, you were in the group with Ryan Held on Wednesday. Any glowing takeaways about this running back battle right now?
Well, you know, first of all, Ryan Held and all the running backs have heard all the talk about this position group. You know, I think if there's one position group on the team that people have been kind of worried about or expressing concern about, it's been the running back position. And all those guys have heard it. And so, you know, they've kind of taken a Rocky IV mentality, Ryan Held said, where they know they've got to out-train everybody. They've got to eat better than everybody. They've got to do the work, you know, all the extra drill work and everything that's not necessarily required, but do all those little things to kind of raise their overall level of play. And, you know, you wish that all those guys were healthy and able to go through spring all at the same time. But for the spring game, at least, you know, you're going to see some of Gabe Irvin, who has impressed and who's really improved a lot, according to Held. You know, you've got Sevion Morrison back, who Held said may have the best vision of anybody in that room. You know, and Marvin Scott has been maybe arguably the most consistent out of everybody. So I think we're going to get a good look at some of those guys, and they're all hungry. You know, and Held said, ideally, I've got 4 running backs that we can rotate with really a top 2 that are going to see the vast majority of those carries.
I think the bigger question will be Stepp, what he's like when he comes back.
Yeah, and what's interesting, you know, about the format of the spring game is, you know, you have your top guys. Well, who is the top guy in that running back room? So I think all those players are going to get a substantial amount of work over the course of the game to where, you know, I mean, this is a real prove-it moment for that group, especially considering how much time they've collectively missed over
and
spring.
If you really don't have a great read, I think they would be doing themselves a disservice with the transfer portal and kind of elevating a guy or two right now over the others, because I still believe it is kind of a grab bag. And if you say, well, we think these guys have emerged, it might lead some others to leave before you really truly know kind of what you have.
Especially with so many guys that haven't even had the opportunity to get on the field. I mean, we don't even know what Sevion Morrison looks like in a game setting, and, you know, Gabe Irvin. So I think they still have plenty to work with. It's just a matter of getting them on the field to prove it.
All right, we're going to talk defensive storylines next. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Oh, I expect to do a whole lot better, because now I know the system and how things run. I can just play, like actually just run to the ball, make plays. Last year I was playing like a robot, I would say, just trying to like actually like not mess up, but now I know the plays, so I can just run.
And welcome back here to the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Robin Washington, Nate Klaus. That was outside linebacker Feldarius Payne, who I think of all the guys on defense, he could be the one name that makes the biggest jump from 20 to 21, just solely based on the time he's had in the system, the ability to train and get in shape. Because remember, he was coming off shoulder surgery, but he might be that elusive pass rusher, the fourth man that comes off the edge on defense they haven't had. And I mean, that's one guy of the guys we know all about that I'm intrigued to watch here on Saturday.
Well, especially when you consider his path last year. I mean, he arrives and, you know, he's a little underweight to begin with at a defensive end position, and he has shoulder surgery to where he can, he said he could barely even lift 95 pounds on bench. I mean, that's 25 pounds on each side, and that was a struggle for him. That's how bad his shoulder was and how far he had to go in terms of getting back into Big Ten level strength. And, you know, then he got COVID and he missed a bunch of time during the offseason. So, I mean, he had a bunch of setbacks physically that he had to overcome, and yet he still had a season with 21 tackles, a couple tackles for loss, sack, couple pass breakup, and played all 8 games. And so, I mean, he did far beyond what anyone expected, especially considering the hurdles he had to overcome. So, yeah, I think that he is in prime position to be a fixture on that defense. And if you give him a full offseason of being healthy and staying on track with his training and conditioning and strength and all that, I think that he's got a much higher ceiling than what we've seen so far.
Well, like you said in the open there, he was kind of acting or playing like a robot last year. He didn't necessarily feel comfortable with the defense. You know, he was thinking so much about what his responsibilities were and what his keys were, so on and so forth. I think we've really only started to get a true glimpse of Feldarius Payne, the player, towards the very, very end of last season. And so I think we're all, you know, maybe poised to see, you know, him take a massive jump forward now that he's comfortable with the defense, now that he's finally healthy and has overcome a lot of those hurdles that he dealt with last year. I think he could be quite disruptive and really valuable for this defense.
Guys, when you return 17 of your top 20 defenders and then you add Chris Kolarovic in that mix as well, it's hard for new names to emerge. But I'll tell you one really interesting story, and a guy that's emerged that wasn't on the field last year is Colton Feast. The walk-on out of UTAN, just right outside Omaha there. He's put himself, at least this spring, on the back end of the defensive line rotation. He's probably the sixth guy, maybe the seventh guy when Ben Stilley's back. But that is, of all the stories, when you have such an established unit, I think that's one of the better stories, just to see a kid that went in the old-fashioned walk-on program and he's put on the 30, 40 pounds and lifted and trained, and he's going to put himself to be a role player on this team possibly.
Yeah, I mean, another guy who's the definition of what the Nebraska walk-on program is all about, where, you know, he came in with very little recruiting acclaim and yet just worked hard and got himself bigger, stronger, committed himself to learning the defense. And every opportunity he got in practice, and especially in a defensive line where reps come at such a premium with so as much depth as they have at that position, every opportunity he got, he maximized it. That's one of the things Tony Tuioti said this week, was, you know, he was so consistent and played at such a high level in every chance that he got, that he fully trusts, Colton Feast to do what he's supposed to do. And that's why, you know, as a sophomore walk-on from UTAN, he is now in the top 6 over scholarship players. And that's a full credit to him and the work he's put in.
Well, I think a lot of people probably don't realize that this is a player that was playing the state championship game as a senior, as a linebacker. And he's made the transition to being a defensive end in the Big Ten. He's completely changed his body, has had to learn a new position, has had to learn, you know, with playing with his hand in the ground and not, you know, not being a linebacker off the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's had to learn and adjust an awful lot. And for him to have done that in 2 years and be in the top 6 and be in the rotation, I mean, that's pretty darn impressive.
You know, it reminds me a little bit of Jack Gangwish. Jack Gangwish was a middle linebacker at Wood River. Which it's now Wood River Shelton, I believe, for our Kearney and Central. By the way, we found out we've got a lot of loyal listeners, Nate, in Central Nebraska in the Holdridge, Kearney, Grand Island area on Fridays that pick us up there on ESPN Radio. But reminds me of that guy, because Gangwish came in as I think we all agreed in the Shrine Bowl, like, well, he can't be a linebacker at Nebraska, but he grew into a D lineman. And Colton Feast is the same way. that's what the walk-on program at Nebraska, it's not necessarily to find quarterbacks to start or running backs to start. It's to find the guards, the centers, the tight ends, the defensive linemen like this, maybe a nickel-type corner guy. You don't typically find, you know, your pass rushers and your tackles and your quarterbacks and running backs, but guys like Colton Feast is what the walk-on program should hopefully produce every once in a while.
Absolutely, because you got dudes that have all this untapped potential that might not have been in a program where not only do they get the exposure, but just the resources in order to, you know, really take that next step, you know, as an athlete. Now Colton Feast is, he's listed at 280 pounds. You're talking about a kid that a couple of years ago was playing linebacker. You know what I mean? So that shows that, you know, if you have the right mindset and you find a new niche that you can make your name at, you're going to have an opportunity. And Colton Feast is another name to put on the poster board of what being the opportunities being a walk-on in Nebraska can provide.
Yeah, and I think that's, it kind of goes to show what the walk-on program is about. It's not necessarily, like you said, finding a ready-made player. It's how well can you project what a guy could potentially be down the road, what he could grow into, you know, and getting him in the program, getting him to buy into making that change from being a linebacker to being a defensive end, and adding a bunch of weight to his body and learning that new position and everything. So, you know, that's somebody who's totally bought in and is really sacrificed and done everything for the team. And now it's about time for that to all pay off for him.
And I know we're on defense, but I want to hit on special teams because it does involve a lot of defensive guys. Do you think we'll see much live special teams work that wasn't really addressed? I mean, I got to think they're going to want Daniel Cherney to get out there and punt.
Yeah.
And by the way, is William Pristip, like, I mean, has anyone heard his name mentioned once?
I have not.
Okay, I'm just making sure I'm on the same page here because, I mean, he was the punter last year.
I know.
But I think the conversation is obviously all around Daniel Cherney at this point.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, I know in years past they've done it where they do, like, the full-on punt return team, but there's no return. They just fair catch it. And so that could be a deal where you do the full-on punt, guys run down the field to cover the punt, but there's no return. So that'd be my guess.
I mean, if the first half of the game is going to be thud up.
Yeah, if you're not even tackling.
If you're not taking people down on the ground, we're not going to see full-out kickoff and kickoff, you know, kickoff cover. And
no wedge busters.
No, no. So, and you know what? I mean, if that's – and that's fine. I mean, I don't know. I was a little disappointed with the format. I thought
it's wooden swords in the first half and full swords in the second half.
Once once the first and second stringers, you know, get their time in the sun, you know, then the gloves come off. I don't know. But I mean, it's definitely something that they need to work on. I'd be very shocked if we didn't see them at least practice that in some sort of way.
I want to see Cherney punt live.
Well, yeah, I mean, I
saw the YouTube video, and then once he committed in Nebraska, they Nebraska told him to take down that video. And I mean, his hang time was like ridiculous on these punts.
Yeah, and especially coming off that injury, you know, you just got to wonder where he is physically. All reports are, you know, from his teammates and coaches that he's doing well, but you know, that's a big injury to come back off of, especially with your first introduction into American football.
Well, we know that he's got the athleticism, he's got the ability, but can he harness that all and kind of put it together for, you know, American football?
And understanding the game. I mean, that's a thing that apparently has been an issue for him over the past year. Not so much now compared to where he first arrived, but, you know, having a sense of the game and down and distance and, you know, knowing where to punt and how to punt against a return and those types of things. It's not just rearing back and booting a ball downfield.
People forget, though, he's a professional athlete. He was in a minor league. Mm-hmm. So Australian rules football organization. He got to what would be equivalent of AAA, one step below the pro team, and then gave that up to pursue college football. So it's not like he's just some guy they found that was living in the dorms that could punt. I mean, he was a professional athlete, just in a different sport. And like Mike Dawson said, we coach him like a linebacker. He wants to be coached like a linebacker, not a punter, because he's looking forward to a chance to make a tackle on a punt. I mean,
well, yeah, that's what he's used to. That's what he's kind of used to doing.
Now he gets to put pads on.
Yeah, and never wore a helmet or pads necessarily. So, yeah, it's a unique dynamic. But you know, we've seen these types of guys be successful at other schools. And I mean, there's clearly a reason why Nebraska went out and got him and gave him a scholarship without ever really, you know, physically seeing him in person or having him work out, you know, on campus here at a kicking camp. I mean, you know, he He's got all the tools, but can he put it all together is the question.
All right, when we come back, we're going to have a mailbag here this week as we head into the spring game. We'll take some questions. We'll hit on basketball, too, and one of our questions as Robin Washett was down all weekend in lovely Hutchinson, Kansas, covering the National Junior College Basketball Tournament. So we'll get a take on that as well. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
We've had a physical spring. We needed it. We haven't had a real spring ball in 2 years, and we need to make up for some lost ground. So we've had a physical spring. I've asked a lot of the guys, and they've given it to us. We've had, I think, a couple times up to 43 guys on our injury list with everything from a couple big ones to tweaks and sprains and bumps and bruises. So we're a little beat up, but we expected that with the type of spring that we had. We're going to have a full game with two teams. First half's going to be thud, and we're going to let a lot of the old guys play. Second half, we're going to leave a lot of the young guys out there, and the second half's going to be live and tackle to the ground. So that's kind of the format we landed on. It's going to give us a chance to get some more work out of our veterans and then get some live reps for our young guys.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. That was head coach Scott Frost addressing the format and what he's expecting out of Saturday's Red-White Spring Game. It's a 1 o'clock kick on the Big Ten Network, and still some tickets available. You can buy them day of game as well, and they'll technically can allow just over 42,000 at least is what they've shot for. I think they could go over that number now that the DHM in Lincoln is at 75%. Haymarket Park is going to do 75%, which is 6,100 for their series versus Rutgers. But I want to get in the mailbag, Robin. My first question out of the mailbag, it's a personal question from Sean in Lincoln.
Okay.
Regarding the Junior College National Basketball Tournament. You spent a lot of time in Hutchinson, Kansas.
Sure,
and you got to know the lay of the land down there. Watched, what, four games down there or three?
Four. Five.
Five games in the national tournament.
Went down on Monday for the opening round and then came back when both of Nebraska's commits or signees were playing in the semifinal round. And then I stayed for the national championship. So
you'll be in the next Last Chance U.
I think so. Yeah. You know what? That was my first taste of that junior college tournament. And I've heard from a lot of people that have covered that talk about how cool of an event it is. And you know, I could see that. It was different this year, obviously. You know, there was still some of the lingering COVID stuff. So I don't think it was as well attended as maybe it normally would be, but you know, especially that championship game, it was two Kansas schools, Coffeyville and Cowley, from the Jayhawk Conference, and there was a good crowd there with, you know, students that showed up, and so it had a fun atmosphere, and you know, it was a fun experience, a lot better than maybe I expected going into it. But you know, to sum it up, you know, got to see Kisi Tominaga, the 2021 signee, play twice, and the kid's a scorer, shooter first and foremost, range legitimate from 26, 27 feet if he wants. Size is going to be an issue for him. I saw him get his shot blocked a little bit, but he's a better passer than I expected, and next season I could see him being a guy that is off the bench, could provide a spark offensively, and if nothing else, space the floor a little bit. And then Blaze Cada, the 2022 commit for Coffeyville, they won the national championship. And in that national championship game, he played by far the best game of his junior college career with 27 points, 9 rebounds, 4 blocks, and really kind of dominated the game. And he got better every game that I watched him play. And, you know, when you look ahead with another year to develop his game at junior college before arriving at Nebraska in 22, he could be a really nice find that could end up being a real steal in the 22 class.
Does Nebraska need to worry about not having his signature now that he's rated a 4-star, just got bumped up?
He just got bumped to a 4-star. He can't sign until November, but poaching isn't nearly as prevalent in basketball as it is with football. I mean, so I'm sure schools will call, but the relationship he has with Fred Hoiberg, Matt Aldemasi, is a big reason why he picked Nebraska. And so I don't see that changing, and I wouldn't worry too much about that.
So he'll play a whole other year this JUCO?
Yeah, so right now he's 21 years old, and he's got another year of junior college. Because he was a member of the 2018 or 19
A 21-year-old Nate in the JUCO ranks?
And then he took a post-grad year, and then he took this season at junior college, and he'll have another season at junior college. So when he arrives at Nebraska, he'll be a 23-year-old sophomore.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, I like I said, there's a lot to like there, and you know, he's going to get bigger and stronger.
Legit 6'10".
Wow. He's 235 now, and I imagine he'll put on some more weight to where he could add another 10 to 15 pounds onto that frame.
All right, I want to get on the next question. And it was a good thought here. This offensive line right now for Nebraska is the most athletic potentially since when? And I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, the underrated line for me is Mike Riley's first line when it had Alex Lewis, who ended up being multi-year starter in the NFL, Zach Stirrup, who played and starred in the NFL as a guard and a tackle both, and then you had Nick Gates in his best year at Nebraska before he met Derek Barnes.
Well, he's a center now. There's a reason he's not a tackle.
Yeah. But, I mean, that was a sneaky good line that year. I mean, they can move people that season with those three guys. But then before that, I thought maybe the Qualley, Searles, Andrew Rodriguez group. I mean,
Spencer Long.
Ryan Reeves. By the way, I've seen Ryan Reeves. Like, he's one of those guys that's like 225 now. I mean, the old joke, Nate, you either go one of two ways as a former lineman at Nebraska.
Either all the muscle and all that mass either melts off or it turns.
Mother genetics take over at that point.
Either you eat like a normal person or you keep eating like you got the training table.
Yeah.
One of those two. But yeah, that was the first one that came to my mind was that bow year in like the 2012-13 range where, you know, they had
Spencer Long. Yeah, I forgot about him.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably one of the best out of all of them.
He's like an All-American.
I mean, but you think about the recruiting profile Rodriguez had, Ryan Reeves, had it not been for injuries, he would have been really good. You know, then obviously Searles NFL, Spencer Long NFL, Zach Stirrup NFL. So, I mean, they had a really good group that I don't think got enough praise for how good it actually was.
Well, yeah, and I think this offensive line, at least from an athletic profile, stacks up pretty well with that group. I mean, I think there's quality depth and the athleticism, the size and athleticism across the board on this Nebraska offensive line is as good as it's been, you know, going back all the way back to that group. So what, you're talking 6-7 years? So yeah, I think that's encouraging, definitely encouraging to think about.
All right, Nate, recruiting question here. Will Nebraska get the full allotment of 56+6, the carryovers, on official visits? Does it really even matter? I mean, does anybody even come close to using 62 visits? I mean, Nebraska's come on a coaching change here maybe.
Yeah.
But it's pretty – if you're bringing 62 guys on campus, that's
– that's a problem generally.
Yeah.
The only time that any coaching staff really, especially Nebraska – comes close to using 62 is when there's a coaching change.
Well, yeah, Mike Riley kind of blew them all out
on
the in season. They got fired, and then Frost had to come up and
So generally, depending on how many get used during the regular season of a coaching change, you know, the new coach, that new staff can get extra official visits. And I think Frost, when they came in, they were like one or two visits away from getting those bonus visits. And so they had to be super selective with who they brought in and close at an extremely high rate that year. And they virtually, I mean, they pretty much maxed out all their official visits that year. So I don't think that's going to be an issue this year. I don't think it will really matter. But no, I mean, the NCAA is not – they're not allowing or they're not giving extra official visits. It's business as normal. Once June 1st hits and that recruiting dead period is over with, all the same rules that have applied in the past go back into effect. And that includes 56 official visits And I'm sure there are those – if you didn't use – I don't know for a fact if it goes back to 2019. I would think it probably would, depending on how many you used that year. But Nebraska will have 56+6, but they won't come close to using all of them.
You know, one of the new rules, Nate, I think of all the changes they made with June 1st that's completely new is anybody that comes on campus now for an unofficial visit in June is able to be worked out for an hour.
Yeah.
So you almost don't even have to pay to go to a camp. And you 7 days a week, you can come and visit in the camp period or whatever it would be. And then that last week of July as well. And you could almost have a tryout type workout, for an hour with the coaching staff.
Yeah. And that is one of the new rules that I think, you know, was necessary. I mean, this 2021, 2022.
You take away all the evaluation time.
Yeah. The coaches have not been able to properly evaluate, and the recruits themselves have not had the opportunity to be seen. And so, I mean, I think that is important and something that the NCAA got right there.
All right, when we come back, we're going to close the show. There's a large list of visitors at least people that have bought tickets to the spring game that actually have a recruiting interest in Nebraska. We'll get Nate Klaus's thoughts on those visitors that will be in town next. You're listening to the Husker Online Show.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Yeah, strange times. There's not a lot we can do. We want to get as many recruits to Lincoln, Nebraska as we possibly can. Said it a bunch, but when we get people here, we got a great chance of getting them. And spring game gives them a chance to come see the atmosphere and see town. Wish we could do more with them, but can't do anything with kids that come to town until June.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show, final segment of the show. Sean Callahan, Nate Klaus talking spring game and recruiting. And this has really been the start of Nebraska recruiting every year since 2004, when Bill Callahan and Tim Cassidy and Steve Peterson decided to make the spring game what it became and what it is now. And that's celebration of fans and getting recruits here to get a leg up and jumpstart things. And Nebraska will have either the most or the second most fans of any spring game. I think Alabama might have had 47,000. So they'll once again, Nate, be able to make a statement this weekend. I mean, you look at the list of confirmed names we have right now with offers, and it's pushing 20 prospects. I think there's going to be, at least what we've confirmed, 18, 19 kids, at least as of now, that have Husker offers that have bought a ticket that will be in the stands to watch the spring game, but they can't be talked to by Nebraska's coaches or anything.
Yeah, it's not a your typical spring game visit where they're coming in a couple hours before kickoff and, you know, taking the tour of the facilities and maybe hearing a speech from the strength conditioning coaches or, you know, getting the spiel of, you know, from the equipment managers, you know, what type of gear the guys get and so on.
The big barbecue afterwards.
Yeah, and then the barbecue afterwards. It's, I mean, they're essentially no different than any other fan that's going to be in the stadium. And and there's pros and cons to that. Obviously, I think, like Frost said in the open, anytime you can get kids on campus, you increase your chance of eventually landing them. But, you know, you also are losing out on an opportunity or don't have the opportunity to have that face-to-face interaction. And Ryan Held said, you know, on Wednesday that they can't even really look into the stands and wave at guys. They got to play it pretty close to the vest.
Which is nuts.
It is kind of ridiculous. But I know compliance, NCAA, I mean, they're watching this, you know, pretty closely across the board. It's not just at Nebraska. It's pretty much everywhere. So, but the good news is yeah, there's going to be close to 20 kids, you know, with offers already in attendance. And that's from the 2022 class, 2023, 2024. And you know, there's probably going to be an extra 20 to 40 additional players that Nebraska is actively recruiting that don't yet have offers between those classes that make their way to Lincoln too. So when you really think about it, you kind of step back and look at the big picture. I mean, that's quite the accomplishment that you've got. You know, probably going to have about 60 plus recruits in the stands that have all paid their own way to bought their own tickets. You know, generally the university or the, you know, football coaches would be able to give a recruit a free ticket plus two free tickets for
in a section
in a roped off section specifically for recruits and you know, kind of cater everything towards them.
Now you might be in the nosebleed section in North Stadium next to Jim from Scott's Bluff.
Exactly.
You know,
I mean, yeah, no one knows where these guys are going to be necessarily.
So if you're in the game Saturday as a fan and you sit by someone that looks like a recruit, it's probably a recruit.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, yeah, it probably is. And, you know, and so I think that's a good opportunity though for these kids to see, kind of get a feel for what, you know, Nebraska fans are all about and get just a glimpse of what an actual game day might be like, because these are all players that most of them probably haven't had the opportunity to go to a game or a spring game as a recruit before. And so, I mean, this is a huge opportunity for the Huskers, and I do think that, you know, we're going to hear some glowing reports from a lot of these guys that it was amazing how many players or how many fans were out in the stands, and they liked this and that and whatever. And, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that are interested. They just want to get confirmation, that everything they've been hearing from the coaches is real. And I think this weekend is a step in that direction.
Well, Nate, one quarterback that we know is going to be here, two quarterbacks, one for 22, MJ Morris, the four-star Rivals top 250 out of Atlanta, Georgia. He just was named the quarterback MVP at the camp in Atlanta. Did he make the challenge? Do we know? Or?
I don't know if he's made the challenge yet or not, but yeah, he had a strong showing there apparently.
And then Reese Mooney for 2023. So you are going to arguably have maybe your top 22 and your top 23 quarterbacks. I think the 22 is a debate still who your number one guy is, but Richard Torres as well could be here. We don't know for sure if he's going to be here.
Yeah, he's taking his official visit the first weekend in June. And he had planned on being here in attendance for the spring game this weekend, but I know that's kind of up in the air now. But the important one for Richard Torres is that he's locked in his official visit already. Whereas MJ Morris, the four-star out of Atlanta, he has yet to lock in his official visit. So, if you're Nebraska, you're hoping that the visit goes well enough this weekend to where that leads to an official visit down the road from MJ Morris. But to have, two to three of your top quarterback targets between 2022 and 2023. On campus, in attendance, really on their own dime, I think is showing that you're in a pretty good spot here. And I know that's one position that people have kind of been panicking about, who are they going to get? When are they going to get them? And I think that, I think that this weekend will go a long way into eventually securing a commitment for a quarterback for 22 and 23.
And one of the later names that announced he's coming to the spring game is Quentin Conley from Kansas City. He announced on Twitter, and originally we didn't think he was going to make it, but he said Memorial Stadium, Lincoln, Nebraska spring game. So that will be interesting. He's a top Kansas City player that will be in town.
Yeah, and Quentin Conley, even though there's a lot of recruits in this class that really haven't experienced the recruiting process, Quentin Conley is not one of those guys. He's been to probably three or four Nebraska games in the past. He's been to the spring game back in 2019, I believe. And he's somebody that this staff has been recruiting for an awful long time. He's 6'4", 210, 215-pound wide receiver. There are some schools that are recruiting him as a tight end, but the Huskers like him as a wide receiver, and he's got a great relationship with Ryan Held, and probably one of those guys. If you kind of held my foot to the fire and said, okay, who's somebody who could potentially make a decision either this weekend or shortly thereafter, I would probably say Quentin Conley could be one of those names you throw in that category as far as somebody who could make a decision sooner rather than later in Nebraska's favor.
And I know, Nate, he's technically not the highest-ranked guy, but I feel like the want list guy that a lot of Nebraska fans, there's always a couple that you kind of attach your hat to. Jaron Koenig out of Hayes, Kansas, who's run the fastest 100-meter dash in the state of Nebraska this year of any athlete. I believe he's 10.6s now.
10.6, and that was the first track meet of the year.
In March.
Yeah, in March, early March when he ran that, or late March when he ran that. And yeah, he's going to be, in town along with his teammate Gavin Myers, who's a linebacker out of Hayes. And in Koenig, he's also another one of those guys that's already scheduled his official visit for the month of June, and just a really dynamic athlete. We talked about the 10.6 100 meters. He's somebody who could play wide receiver or linebacker. And they're recruiting him for both sides of the football. He's so athletic. There's not too often you see somebody that's got that type of versatility where they could play wide receiver or linebacker, but he's 6'2", 210. Kind of reminds me of a Nate Gary type of guy, to be honest with you. So
Isaac Gifford to an extent, but more Nate Gary, I would say.
Yeah, and so when you've got a player like that in a border state, and within driving distance like Hayes, Kansas is, I think that's somebody you really got to go all out and see if you can get him in the class.
Well, it's going to be a busy weekend. Baseball, we'll have you covered on that, as well as the red-white spring game, and then plenty of post-recruiting coverage. You're going to log on to HuskerOnline.com. Our entire team is going to be working hard to get the reaction of the recruits on how the visit went, and obviously we'll have full breakdown and video reaction of the spring game. So make sure you log on to HuskerOnline.com.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.